Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service on this wonderful Wednesday of the 27th of May, 2015, the very last Wednesday in May. Welcome to those on the phone and to those listening to the recording, and it's good to be back with you after a few days' break. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled More About Jesus, and the lyrics is found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1902.htm. And it's in our home church section under music and then hymns. So more about Jesus. More about Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne. Riches and glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for that, Elder Robert, and amen to that song. Sister Lucy said, that's just what I needed. Well, let's approach our Saviour and our Father and the Holy Spirit. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity, especially for Sister Lucy and I to unite with brothers and sisters online, an opportunity that would not be possible if this technology was not made available, where we can have in real time fellowship. And as dear Elder Robert was singing, to have your words put into our minds and become our own by experience in an active, practical Christian life. Father, you brought to my attention two people, two individuals that I've had the privilege of meeting recently was Sister Lucy. Pastor Kay has shared something that is of a sick nature, and just uphold people that I don't know specifically who also have this problem, like Brother Isaac in the field of hospitalization, of first of all that there is somewhere for them to go, which we are grateful for, and we hope that the hands that are attending to them will be of that nature to produce a quick healing, if it's your will. And if it's not, to know these dear souls that nothing is sent or allowed to come their way except it was perfectly designed for their spiritual uplifting, their character to be even more like Jesus, no matter what they've accomplished in the past. I pray that you'll help the communication line keep up and claim the promise that we can be quick to communicate and ready to distribute what needs to be. Please bless when we open the Word of God this morning, or the evening as it is, to hear your voice speaking to us and open it up in awe and consider what you have to say to us today, that your Holy Spirit will send us what we need with the latter rain that is today, promised to all of us who accept by faith the righteousness of Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. So welcome again, one and all. And we're continuing in our study book of Ephesians. And we left off last time at chapter 4, verse 25. And Paul was bringing out his thought that each and every individual that has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior need to follow his example. And they can't be following his example if they're not yet born again, born from above, have a changed heart. And so Paul ends his thought here, before we pick it up at verse 25, he says, "And put on the new man, or the new woman, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And the only way that we can be righteous and truly holy is through Christ's imputed and imparted righteousness. But he will not impute righteousness to us or impart righteousness to help us maintain holiness unless we're born from above. So that's where Paul left off. And now we pick it up at verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So after Paul talks about being created anew in Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness, the very next words are, "Put away lying and speak the truth with everyone." So if we are indeed born again, then we will put away lying and we will only speak the truth. But should we give in to lying and not speak the truth, then we would no longer be the new creature in Christ Jesus, for we would have reverted back to our old man or old woman experience. So we would go from a converted state to an unconverted state, which means that we would have to repeat the process of asking Christ to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to purify us and clothe us once again with his precious robe, and make us born again righteous. So then there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. It is a process to go from a converted new man or new woman experience into learning how to live without sinning. So when we're justified by faith and all our past sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ, we are clothed with his righteousness. Or in other words, his righteousness is imputed to us. But now where do we go from this born-again condition, being completely righteous in Christ Jesus and cleansed from all unrighteousness? What do? Where do we go? We have to walk by faith. So if we just stand there, we're not going to advance. And something that doesn't advance begins to decay and retrograde. Amen. We must pick up our cross daily, looking upward to Christ. We must die to self. And that is a moment-by-moment experience. You can't just die to self one time and expect that to last you for the rest of the day. It is a moment-by-moment dying to self and saying yes to God. So if we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, we will not be lying one to another. We will not be speaking falsehood to one another. We will not be choosing to commit sin. And if we do sin, then we're no longer converted. We have fallen from our standing position and are now laying on the ground, unable to advance. Paul continues, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So Paul is not commanding us to be angry here, but he's saying, if you do get angry, don't allow your anger to get the best of you, that it leads you into sin, but control your anger. And there's no way you're going to control your anger if you're not in a converted state. So Paul starts out this by saying, be converted, and then don't lie, but only speak the truth. If you get angry, don't allow your anger to control you and lead you into sin. But instead, allow Christ in you to control the anger. So this doesn't say that if you become angry at something, it's sin. But anger can lead into sin. And then Paul says, if you do get angry and you do not commit sin, do not let the sun set for that day upon your wrath. So don't harbor it through the night. Don't bring it up the next day. Let it die. And there are several ways to let your wrath die. One way is, if it's an individual that has made you angry for some reason, go and talk to them about it. Allow it to be worked out before the sun sets. If it's a situation that has made you angry, then give it to God before the sun goes down. Lay your burdens at his feet, because he is your burden bearer. So then if you follow this admonition and you do not allow your anger to be harbored in your heart overnight, then you will be able to get a good, peaceful, and restful sleep. You will be able to smile. You will be able to even laugh. And sometimes when you're in the moment, your anger comes up. But when you have time to think about it as to why it happened and you follow the steps that led up that, you can even laugh about it. I found myself wondering why I even got upset in the first place. It was such a small little thing. Why would I let that get under my skin? And I have to chuckle to myself. So if you find yourselves getting angry, dart a prayer to God and ask Him for grace and strength to control it. And He will work through you to control your anger so that it doesn't lead you into sin. And if you did get angry, work it out. Allow your wrath to dissipate before the sun goes down. Continuing. Neither give place to the devil. Now, giving place to someone is allowing them to dwell there. So then, if you have allowed your anger to rankle in your heart, and it's there after the sun goes down, so you're now pondering on it when you should be sleeping, you're allowing the devil to have a foothold in your life. And if the devil has a foothold, then he's going to come in with all his body. It's just like the proverbial saying, if you let the camel's head into the tent, pretty soon the whole camel's in there. It's the same with the devil. If you let him have a foothold in your life, then he's going to intrude himself into areas that you least expect. And it's going to be extremely hard to get rid of him. Just like it would be to get that camel out of the tent. So those that are converted, amen. It's like a rippling effect. One step here leads to another step, and pretty soon everything is happening that you don't want it to happen, and then you wonder why. How did I get to this point? And praise God that He will open our understanding and allow us to trace the steps back to see where the beginning occurred. And then we can remember how it started so that we can avoid going down that same path in the future. Amen. James 4, 7, and 8. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any questions, dear ones, before we continue? Please go right ahead. Continuing. And, dear sister, it's what it's like for all of us. But praise God for His mercy, praise God for His long-suffering, and praise God that if we find ourselves going down a wrong path, that the Spirit is there to prick us, and hopefully we'll turn around before we get to the end of that path and actually fall into a great trap. So if we're converted, we're not going to lie, we're going to speak the truth. We're not going to allow anger to lead us into sin because we're not going to give the devil any place to dwell in our hearts or our lives. And we're not going to allow the sun to go down upon our anger. We're going to work out the situation or we're going to give it to God before we go to bed. Continuing. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may be able to give to him that needeth. So again, Paul is dealing with the actions of an unconverted heart now that an individual has become converted. So the things that he once or she once did that were sin, now they need to no longer follow. So for those who believe that you can truly be a follower of Christ, but yet have no change in your life and go on living the same worldly course that you did before you accepted Christ, at least in word, is not according to Scripture. If we're converted, we're not going to break God's law. We're no longer going to commit sin. If we're truly converted, then we will live righteous lives in and through Christ Jesus. We will not live unrighteous lives in and through the devil. So those that have accepted Christ have cast out the devil from their lives. They will give him no place to dwell within them. So those that used to steal are no longer going to steal. But instead, they're going to work. They're going to find a work that is good, so that the individuals now will have extra that they can give to those who need. So now the thief is imparting of his own goods to others for their benefit. So just a complete reversal in life. Instead of taking from others what they wanted but didn't want to work for it, they are now working so that they can have extra to give to others who need. Just a complete change. So what else will the converted follower of Christ not do? Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So now, what is corrupt communication? I'm not asking for the actual words. I'm just saying, what is corrupt communication? Amen. Swearing, lying, using profanity, committing blasphemy, yes, that would be under cursing. Any other thoughts? Hypocrisy, okay, all right, that's good. So you can... Okay, anything that you would not want Christ to hear? Yes. So, corrupt communication can be in a whole slew of different areas, because by our words we shall be justified, and by our words we shall be condemned. Okay, another thought put here in the room is bad actions. That could be a form of communicating. But Paul here is saying, do not allow it to proceed out of your mouth. So he's dealing with words. But our actions can convey. Sign language, for instance. That is not actually speaking a word. That is, through actions, communicating a word. And you can communicate with your eyes and your facial expressions without ever saying a word. So that is another form of communication that can become corrupt. But Paul here is dealing with it coming out of our mouths. So let no communication that is bad proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good, so that it can edify your listeners. In other words, leading them or ministering to them words that will uplift them and encourage them and point them to Christ. So then, would dwelling upon who won the latest sports championships, would that be considered corrupt communication? Is it pure communication? It wouldn't be pure because it's not edifying and uplifting individuals to Christ. So it's not pure. Many people think it's a neutral. But God is not the one whose spirit is behind those sports. It is the devil. So then, avoiding profanity and cursing and swearing and lying and all of that is proper. But we also need to carry it beyond just those areas and be cognizant of the topics that we're speaking on. So now, what about telling jokes? Amen. Gossiping is a very corrupt communication. Okay, jesting and joking. Now, not all jesting or joking with one another is evil. And when you look up the terms jesting and joking that Paul brings up forbidding it, you'll find that it's dealing with lewd or making fun of the sexual overtones. So it'd be telling a dirty joke or jesting about body parts or whatever. That is what is forbidden in the scriptures. So that would be a form of corrupt communication, even though it's not lying, even though it's not swearing, even though it's not dealing with sports, and you're doing it to make people laugh, but the Bible forbids any kind of joking around that is sexual in nature. So if the devil puts a thought in your mind to comment on any type of body part that you see, avoid joking about it, so that no corrupt communication will proceed out of your mouth. No matter how funny it might be, avoid the temptation. Now, just joking and kidding around is not evil, but when it takes on a sexual overtone, then it becomes corrupt. So the words that we say to others, we need to weigh to see if they're going to be of a pure uplifting nature or if they're going to turn the minds of your listeners away from being edified towards God and righteousness and down another path that will not be appropriate for a Christian to dwell on. And if we could just control our words, then we can become perfect, righteously perfect, in all other areas of our lives. James talks about the tongue being a very small member, but yet, just like a small rudder on a gigantic ship, it can turn the whole body wherever it goes, wherever that rudder points. It's the same with the tongue. it can turn your whole body into a particular direction that you would not normally want to go in if you had controlled your mouth. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones, before we continue? Please feel free.
Hello, I'm Sister Lucy's spokesman for this morning. She wanted to say that the line can be thin sometimes, but and you have to be very careful. I thought I'd save time trying to type it. Elder Robert said true.
Amen. I agree. It can be a fine line at times, and you know, if you take the time to ponder back on the events and the words and actions that you performed or were involved in throughout the day, sometimes you can wonder, Lord, was that proper what I did there? You know, surely I could do better. Help me to remember that. But you're wondering whether it was sin that needs to be repented of or if it was just a bad decision, but not necessarily one that broke God's law. But that's where self-examination comes in, and that's where we can learn more about ourselves that we may be blind to without that examination. So let no corrupt communication in all its varied forms come out of our mouths, but only that which is good to the edifying of our listeners, especially so that they can be pointed to God. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, how can we grieve the Spirit? If we're born again, we've accepted Christ as our Savior, and we choose to obey Christ, then God sends us the Holy Spirit to all those who obey Him. So then, if we go back to our old man or old woman experience, then what are we doing to the Spirit? The Spirit was given us to help us obey God, to now live this new life. We've been born again, but now we have to live in that new life. That's why the Spirit is given to us. And the Spirit's job in our lives is to convict us of sin. In other words, to point out to us what is sin and of righteousness. In other words, to point us the correct path to walk and of judgment. In other words, time is short. That's the job of the Spirit. And the Spirit is given us immediately when we become converted to God. We're not yet completely perfect. We've been made righteous, but now we have a whole life to live. That's why the Spirit is given us to help us to live that life. But then if we should choose not to live the new life, but to go back to the old life, the Spirit is pricking our hearts saying, don't do this. This is sin. This is what you should be doing. So then if we go back to our old life and choose to sin, then we have gone directly contrary to the Spirit's prickings of our hearts. He was directing us what sin was and where to go to remain righteous, what to do to avoid sin. And we basically told Him, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to do this instead. Thus, we've grieved the Holy Spirit. instead of pleasing the Spirit by following His leadings, we now have grieved the Spirit by refusing to follow His leadings. So someone who is knowingly disobeying God does not have the Spirit leading them. And what does the Spirit do in our lives? What's His purpose other than to lead us away from sin into righteousness? Amen. He does convict us of our sin, so he's pointing out what sin is and leading us away from it into righteousness. The last part of verse 30 says that the Holy Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption. So here we see that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to seal us, to get us prepared for redemption and salvation. How does He do that? By convicting us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So then you can see that the sealing is a process. It's connected with sanctification, the doing of God's word, the keeping of God's commandments, the living in the born-again experience. It is a process. That's what the sealing is. People have a concept about the sealing that you struggle and struggle and struggle until you finally become 100% perfect in Christ, and you remain that way for a period of time, and then, bam, you're sealed for God. That's not how it works. The sealing is a process. It is a settling into the truth so that you cannot be moved away from following the truth. And that settling into the truth is a moment by moment, day by day, week, month, year by year process. In other words, it's sanctification. So when you're tempted to break God's law and you dart a prayer to God for grace and strength to resist and you choose not to break God's law, but instead to follow the Spirit's guidance in the way of righteousness, you've gained a victory. You've become a little more sanctified. You've become a little more sealed unto the day of redemption, a little more settled into your position of willing to serve and follow Christ regardless of the cost. Your cross has been borne a little farther that day. Self has become a little more crucified than it was the moment before. That's a process of the sealing. And praise God for giving us the Spirit without measure so that we have at our usage all the divine power we need to resist and overcome sin. That's why there needs to be three gods in the Godhead, or we're lost. If there's only one, we're lost. If there's only two, the Father and the Son, we're lost. There needs to be the Holy Spirit, who is a third God, working personally in our lives in order to become sealed unto the day of redemption. And that's why the devil is working so hard to get people to deny that the Spirit is real. Because if you deny that the Spirit is real, then the Spirit cannot work in your life. You've denied that He exists. And the devil has won. There's no way that you can become sanctified. Because you've denied the only agency that can sanctify you. So if we're born again, we become a new man or a new woman or a new child in Christ Jesus. Then we're no longer to lie. We're no longer to allow anger to lead us into sin. We're no longer to allow our anger that hasn't led us into sin to remain with us overnight. We're no longer to allow the devil to have any part in our lives. We're to steal no more. We're to have extra money or materials to help those who need help. We're not to allow bad language, corrupt communication, or unprofitable topics to proceed out of our mouths.
Sister Lucy says it's been very, very helpful to her, and it has been for me too. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord, and God is good. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer, and whoever would like to pray, please feel free to do so. And I'll go ahead and close. So whoever would like to start, please feel free.
Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to freely discuss your word, frankly, discuss your word and how we are, as human beings, tempted and how we're going to overcome in the very near future, even right now. Thank you for teaching us righteousness and not growing bored with us, growing fed up. I'm so glad you're not like me. I'm so glad that even the best of people in history, that they are not like you, in that your mercy is so broad and your teaching, who can perform it? I'm so glad that you've given us a personal savior to cherish for ourselves, that we might use him, especially when we are tempted on some of the weakest points in our character, to look up and say that, because the truth indeed will set us free, and Jesus will give us the help that we need if we really want to overcome. Jesus, I pray that you will hold us to this covenant commitment, that we would rather pray than commit sin, that we would rather meditate on your righteousness than to dally with sin for even a moment. Please keep the conviction upon us that even if we think of evil for a second, it has an evil fruit to bear, and that we may, by the suggestions, Father, remind us that suggestions are not sin, but only if we accept them and love them. I'm so glad too that Sister Lucy has shared that she's been benefited by this reading. Lord, I haven't had a reading like this before in the Bible with other brothers and sisters, except in Papua New Guinea, which I have appreciated, and I pray that this is just the beginning of our journey with our brothers and sisters around the world, because we want to be an army and a force for good. We do believe that even the worldling believes, to a certain extent, that the world is an evil place, that if it were really good, the kingdoms of old would still be here, because human nature has not changed over the course of time. Father, I want to uphold the times in which we live, I'm reminded of what Ireland has decided to allow to happen in an English-speaking country, nonetheless Roman Catholic, mostly populated people, of the degrading law that's being passed on the grounds of equal opportunities. I pray that, as much as it's sad, that it just has that stirring effect on us to want to be more of a Christian as we see more of your law, and not by worldlings alone, but professed Christians putting your law a little lower than it was before in their estimation, in their church's estimation. Thank you for showing us a better world, something of what it looks like. I pray that the influence of your holy angels will make today or tonight, as the case is, be very near to us, as if we weren't really on this earth, except for showing that we can follow you under all circumstances and in all places and at all times, regardless of what the devil and people who don't even know they're being led by him, even our closest loved ones, perhaps even Christian loved ones, may have said something that hurt, that one, that you are convict of sin, for us, especially Christians, and two, that we won't get down if it's done to us, but exercise that grace of forgiveness that you so remarkably, constantly, continually ever do. And I just marvel at how you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, with all the power that belongs to you each, always get along. And it's not a compromise. It's not corruption. It's goodness. It's truth. It's in the Ten Commandments. We read the character of the only true gods, loving gods, whose purpose in, can I say, in life, although you are the life giver, is just to do good. Put it around. Give it for free. Please help us do this to others, and especially the household of faith. We might be many miles away, but what a more precious opportunity to show our faithfulness, because one day we'll meet in person, whether this side of eternity, or if we're faithful to the end, forever on the other. We love you. Thank you for loving us first and putting before us that it's you that should come first, because it's you who has the true welfare of the beings you have created. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Dear Lord, it's amazing to me, and yet it's not amazing, that this topic has come up this evening. I have been battling this week. I've been pondering it. I've put up notes around the house, like the caravan, as you know, to remind me of certain points. And I've been failing, and it's been worrying me hugely. And this very first time we come to this prayer meeting, it's the topic that I have been yearning for, dwelling on, not having success with. I say it's amazing, but it's not, is it? That's exactly why I've come. You have brought me to this session this very evening to hear these very words, which I will take away and ponder a great deal more, and I know I shall benefit from. I thank you so much, dear Lord, for your timing. So many times you pop me in a strange place or somewhere I've never been for a very specific purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm mindful of the time I caught the wrong bus and ended up meeting Brother James. This is a little bit like that, our very first time and the most important topic in my life right at this moment. One of the most. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for your very precious time in my life. I pray this, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy great love. We thank you for being in control of thy work, and that indeed the truth is filling this world in a greater way, more today than yesterday, and more tomorrow than today. Father, we thank you for your long suffering towards each one of us. Thank you for not, as Brother James mentioned, becoming fed up with us, but continuing to exhibit your grace, your unmerited favor towards us, and recognizing that we are but dust, that we're frail and prone to error. But Father, I pray that you will continue to work in our lives, pour out upon us thy Spirit in a greater measure, so that we may be more intensely pricked in our hearts before we commit sin, so that we might stop and recognize what's taking place and discern the Spirit's voice speaking to us, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and avoid going that way. Help us to discern his voice above the voices of others, including our own voice, and help us to submit our will to follow thy will, so that we might indeed be more and more sealed unto the day of redemption, more and more settled into the truth, and that much higher in a sanctified life than we were before. And thank you so much for helping us in this each moment of the day. Father, I pray for those that are sick, that are ill, that have had accidents and are recovering. I pray, Father, for those that are not yet saved, those that haven't yet heard the gospel message, those who are not yet following the truth. And I pray that you will work in their lives, that you will lead them, guide them, and arrange circumstances so that they come into connection with the truth. Point them to their great physician and the way, the truth, and the life. Bring healing to their bodies as well as their hearts and souls. Allow them to come alive in Christ. And we thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this and all other prayers that have been spoken in this room and by thy people around the world. Thank you for hearing each one, for paying particular attention to each individual's petition. And thank you for your amazing love and grace in answering all prayers according to thy perfect will and in your perfect loving timing. Thank you, Father, for being with us tonight, and I pray that you will continue to dwell with us and bring us back together again in sweet fellowship in just a couple days. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen indeed. Well, dear ones, on the subject of praising the Lord, I'd like to sing the hymn, Praise to the Lord. And please sing along with me. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join ye in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shield thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with his love he befriend thee. Indeed, praise to the Lord for his merciful kindness and tender love. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments or questions, any songs that you would like to sing or requests for songs to be sung before we close tonight? Please feel free.
I'm still trying to get on, and I forgot the song I wanted to sing. Oh, okay, I remember. I think I'll say this. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'd be a living sanctuary for you. O Jesu Cristo, bien prepárame para serme tu santuario con pureza y santidad afligida con verdad. Con sus gracias, yo seré tu santuario para ti. Have a good night.
Thank you, sis. I haven't heard that before. A wonderful voice you have. Sister Lucy wants to direct something to you, the Elder Robert.
Elder Robert, just a little personal message. Last night our time, about 14 hours ago, I wrote you an email directly connected to next Sabbath, which I would dearly love you to receive, but I was not able to send it for whatever reason. I shall try again now, and hope that you receive it tonight, your time, or tomorrow morning. I just wanted to ask you to please look out for it from me. Thank you so much.
Will do, he said. Will do. Smiley face.
Well, dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming and fellowshipping together, and thank you so much for your participation in our midweek church service. I pray that God will go with each one to continue to lead and guide you upward and to give you a greater outpouring of His Spirit and His work in your life so that you might indeed live the Christian life that God has called each one of us to live. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Isaiah 43, verse 10.
Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, Isaiah 43:10. Isaiah 43:10.